Welcome to episode 142 of The Force Geeks, a Star Wars podcast where X-Wing marks the spot, my friends. This is our 16th show of our fourth season. We got a May the 4th Be With You drop this last week with the second season of Star Wars Visions. Yes, we saw the first season. It was a bunch of anime. We've got some different styles of animation. We'll talk about that. Running down everything we're going to talk about on this episode this week. This is a spoiler special for that second season of Visions. So be warned. If you haven't watched it yet, I mean, I'm not a hardcore person when it comes to Visions. I wouldn't care. I would still listen even if I hadn't watched them, but you make your own decisions on this. We've got a lot of stories with this new season, and I would venture to say that I was probably a bit more interested in this season than I was the first one, as it had a lot of different styles of animation. I'm not a huge anime guy, so for me, that was kind of nice to see the different styles of animation, too. Also, we got a first look at Jude Law in the new Skeleton Crew show. This is going to be a lot of fun to talk about, even though we say we get a first look. It's a blink and you miss it sort of deal. We'll talk about what we've seen and heard from Jude Law himself, actually, on these on this topic. And also beyond that, the fourth. Well, hey, it's come and gone now at this point. We were thinking of recording then, but life is busy, so we're coming to the weekend after May the 4th, and we've had a chance to watch all of the shows for Star Wars Visions. There was another show that came out too, but it's for the younglings. And by the younglings, I mean the young younglings. Chris has already watched a couple episodes of that with his daughter, and we'll tell you a quick deal about that. I'm Nate Custer, coming to you from Northwest Arkansas, my fellow Force Greek, Force Geek, I should say. Not Greek, as far as I know about your heritage. That's Jake Scott. He's back. And we are also heavy One Fighter Jock as well. We have got Chris Ridlon joining us once again. He is our ride or die. As always, want to give a big shout out to DailySuperhero.com, run by our good friend and fellow Force Geek, Daniel Wolf. It is where you can get your superhero and Star Wars news in addition to supporting Dan. We love it that you would support us too. And make sure you subscribe to the pod. Also leave those positive reviews. We do actually read those. We enjoy those. So thank you for that. Fellas, happy post May the 4th. Did you do anything special for May the 4th Be With You? Jake, I know you had your class involved with it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I told him ahead of time, we're not doing anything productive on the 4th. We will be bringing in extra toys from home, from Mr. Scott's house, and watching Star Wars Visions. And that's it. So, yeah.
That's a great way to celebrate with the Visions.
Nice. It's nice to have the option.
Real quickly, what was your impression this season versus the first season? Is there anything just kind of off the top of your head? Yeah, your personal impression.
I wasn't as invested as quickly and as easily this season as I was the first one. Like, it took a little more time for me to really like it. Like, there was one particular episode, the most anime of them all, the Journey to the Dark Head, I liked the best because of the very familiar animation style and the story.
It was the most Star Wars-y story.
A Star Wars story, yeah. I liked that best because that's the kind of thing I like. But the rest of it, I watch it all. It's decent. It's all got its good things and bad things, like everything else.
All right. For the purpose of clarity, Chris, you've not had a chance to digest all of them yet. But from what you've seen of the first few episodes of Visions, what is your thought on this season versus the last season?
Yeah, I think I've watched five or six, so I'm missing the last couple. Okay. But it was okay. I mean, I don't know. I did not enjoy it as much for whatever reason as last season. Maybe that's because been all this, like, you know, content between now and then. I don't know. There were a couple that were like pretty, the first episode was like pretty artsy. I think the one, the Sith one, I mean, it was interesting, but it's just,
it was a little much.
So
I thought that one of my favorites. I know that Dan liked it quite a bit too.
Yeah, I thought
we'll talk more
good,
about
yeah,
that,
but just, you know, yeah, it was good. It was a little too stylistic, I guess, which is not a bad thing.
It very much was. And I think that's the thing with Visions is it gives these folks an opportunity to kind of delve into the artistic reach of things sometimes. And it gets very artsy. I'll put it that way. There is that avenue. And for some folks, it really lands. And for some of us, give us the next show or movie. That's what we're thinking of. So there's something in, I think this is good. There's something for everyone with this involved. And so just it may not be to our taste. I'm not going to, you know, crap all over it, but is it something I was dying for? No. Was I glad there was something new that was Star Wars related on the May the 4th? Yeah, I was. Yeah. It's not what I was hoping for, but I did enjoy it. And you know, I'll probably watch some of it again. Not all of it, but some of it I'm going to watch again.
Yeah.
In the meantime,
I will say that it's really obvious that they made a point of going like all over the place to get studios to do this, and it's really clear by watching it. I mean, just
very international
lists, yep, from, you know, 1 to 2, Spain, Ireland, Chile, UK, South Korea, France, India, Japan, and the US, and South Africa.
Yep.
Pretty much that's got representation
for sure.
There.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
And great to get, you know, the kind of the global voices going on. And we're going to delve more into each episode that we saw. There were 9 of them, by the way. We're going to dig into each of those 9 in just a moment. But right now, we also want to just remind you, hit us up on social media. We want to hear what your thoughts on Visions are. You can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Also, you can search for us at The Force Geeks on any of those platforms. We also put the show up on YouTube. You can watch there in case you are wanting to just kind of plug something on the old laptop and or the phone and just get that going. That's another way you can get our podcast. We also have some interviews. We have more interviews that we're getting ready to do here very, very soon that we're excited about. And some folks from, well, we'll just say one of the upcoming Star Wars shows.
We've got
someone coming up. Yes, very excited. Can't wait. We're not going to say who just yet because you never know what might happen in the interim, but we've got something on the way we're very excited about. So we'll share that in the next show. Remember that we create this show every week right here in the U.S., but we know we have a global audience. We appreciate that international audience as well. So greetings and thanks to everyone listening all over the world, including our new listeners in Buenos Aires, Argentina. That's a new pickup. That was great to see. So thank you very much. And here in the States, we got to say what up to Longwood, Wisconsin. We appreciate your support as well as your friendship in the Force. All right. Digging in, guys, to this second season of Star Wars Visions. It's all about the animation. And the first, we kind of touched on a moment ago, Sith is what this one is called. This is from Studio El Guiri. The art style, I got to say, is gorgeous. But I would say that also this art style is very reminiscent of what we've seen from the Spider-Man, the Spider-Verse type movies that we've seen coming through. It's kind of the animation du jour, I would say, of the moment, with Sony making that very, very popular with its Spider-Man movies. And that is very much the style I picked up. I know Dan Wolf was saying the same thing. He was saying, like, this reminds me so much of that style. He liked the Sith episode. I like it, too. I would say it was one of my favorites, among my favorites of all the episodes. Yeah. And the beginning didn't have me as much because it was focused on the paint and all this stuff. You know, she's got the main character has a mod. She's, you know, in her little lair, her bunker, whatever you want to call it. She's got her droid that's kind of playful and kind of fun. But I was like, what is this about? The whole paint thing and the vision she was having with it. It was very, very stylistically artistic on purpose. Didn't grab me until we got the conflict.
Yeah.
When we finally got to the conflict, we got lightsabers, we got battling, we've got action going on. Yeah. I did like the animation and I liked that style.
Great.
It was awesome. It was awesome. So for me, it landed and I liked that. I also liked the message too that, you know, it's Lola is a painter and she's manipulating paint using her force powers to do that. And we get the showdown between Lola and her former Sith master. And she's triumphant in that battle, and she winds up embracing the light and the dark to defeat him, which I thought is kind of a cool message. So many of us are kind of embracing that gray Jedi, like you have the dogma of the Jedi that we've talked about from the sequel trilogy, that also in the prequel trilogy, the downfall of the Jedi was kind of their arrogance in how they viewed things. And I'm interested with this message that, again, none of this is canon. It's just explorations of stories in the Star Wars galaxy. But I think it does bring up an interesting topic, and that embracing the light and the dark is a cool message.
Yes.
That it's about finding balance. She found balance, and that's what I like about it, because that's what I think translates to so many of us, is finding balance in our own lives and embracing the light and the dark to find the medium. And I think that's kind of a cool concept.
You know what I took from that, Nate, was that everything's white and boring until you add a little bit of color, and the color is being naughty. So
that's another look at it. Okay. All right. Chris, what was your takeaway from watching that first one?
Yeah. I kind of enjoyed the style of animation, you know, I don't know. You said the newer stuff, or like, it reminded me a little bit of like, some of the Final Fantasy movie that they did, you know, animated one. That was decent. I mean, I like the story overall. Just in particular when she's walking through the ship and the walls are kind of like weirdly lighting up and stuff. I don't know. That was a little distracting, but But I did like, you know, like the storyline and the redemption and, you know, hey, you know, the idea, like you said, that it's, you know, gray. Everyone has a little bit of light and a little bit of dark in them. So
yeah,
I thought that was good.
Yep. Yep. And I think that's an interesting thing for Star Wars to explore more. I'm very curious as more comes out about where we're headed with the new movies. And we have to address, obviously, that nothing's getting written when it comes to these new movies right now because of the Writers Guild of America strike. We'll talk more about that and the impact on Star Wars ahead. But with that strike going on, nobody's writing anything right now when it comes to Hollywood. And so that's going to be an issue. But they talk about how this could be 15 years beyond the Rise of Skywalker, the close of the Rise of Skywalker. We now know from Damon Lindelof, who's been talking a lot more about his project, it was set many, many years beyond 15, like more like 50 or something like that, because he actually wanted Helen Mirren to come in and play old Rey in the establishment of the new Jedi Order before he was, you know, unceremoniously asked to leave the project by Lucasfilm.
Helen Mirren is Star Wars Jedi.
Wouldn't that have been interesting?
That would have been interesting.
I've been down for that. I would have been down for that. Yeah. So, but one of the things he's looking at with his script was just, you know, where the new Jedi Order goes. And I find this whole thing about the no attachments for Jedi. And I guess this is more on my mind right now because I'm reading Dawn of the Jedi at this time, the book. And so it's interesting to see that the Jedi, not Jedi, but the Jedi Order that was in place 10,000 years before the Empire came along, that they have attachments, they have family units that they still keep. And so it's interesting, will we see that the Jedi really lost their way when they got rid of all the things that their humanity or their attachments, love, all that sort of stuff, did that ultimately cause their demise? And so this episode of the Sith, where she's embracing both the light and the dark and is, you know, that whole different navigation of what she is, not Jedi, not Sith. She's just who she is. I think that's kind of an interesting message. And I'm curious where Star Wars goes in the future. Will they have the new Jedi Order keep attachments? Will they allow them to have attachments?
I certainly hope so. I mean, that's so like normal to me.
Allow them to love
from the EU. I mean,
yeah.
Like the whole Skywalker lineage was all about family and having kids and redeeming people that are hot so you can marry them. I mean, like, what more do you want? Sorry, Mara Jade.
What more could you want? Hotness and the Force. I mean, let's roll with that.
Let's go with it. Whatever works.
I like it. That does work. I like it. That's a great way to look at it, Jake. And that's what we need more of from Hollywood and from specifically Lucasfilm. Hotness, kids, and the Force. That's what we're after.
I'm good with that. Yeah. I'll take it.
All right. I'm going to give my verdict. This is one of my favorites of all the ones that we had to watch. I ranked this up in the top two for me.
Really?
Guys, where does this rank for you?
Yeah, I probably think so.
That says it all. Like,
I mean,
6 of 9.
Okay.
Ah, really?
Could have been 7 of 9, but
no, I mean, I would say wrong franchise. Of the ones I've watched so far, it's probably top three.
Okay. Yeah. All right. There you go.
But that one I've only watched like one time, to be fair. So I'm sure it probably needs more than one watch, to be fair.
I watched it a couple times because I liked it that much. And it's not necessarily the beginning, though I liked the animation. I thought it was cool. It was really, I thought the story really started advancing about midway through, and that's when it got good. And you got to the conflict and all that. Plus, lightsabers, as Dan would point out, lightsabers. I mean, you show me lightsabers, I'm going to watch. That's the way it works. All right. The second short that we saw was called Screecher's Reach. That one by Cartoon Saloon. The style depicting young people chasing the truth of a myth and facing some hard truths along the way. The story's a bittersweet one, and the visuals kind of augment that. And kind of a downer to see her go off with a Sith and leave her friends behind to just work in a factory. It was a very, like, in what was weird is in our text group as we were talking with Dan about this, he was like, it looks like a children's book. You know, the style of animation kind of looked like a children's book, but, you know,
what kind of children's book is he looking at? Jeez.
Well, no, I mean, the style of animation, it kind of is reminiscent of that. But, man, a very dark message there. And to see her choose to go off with a Sith and, like, no, I'm leaving you. Go back to the factory, guys. I got out.
Well, I mean, it's
I'm special. You're not.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't look back.
Well, she definitely didn't. Yeah, she's like, okay, see
not
ya.
Until it was too late anyway.
Best of luck to you. I'm out. I'm outie 5000. There you go. So, How did this one rate for you, Jake?
Probably under the first one.
Okay. All right. Chris, did you have any thoughts when you were watching this one? Because I really didn't know what was going on. It kind of have a little bit of a scariness to it as mm-hmm. things were progressing. And then from there, I mean, because you had the ghost, the Sith ghost that was down there in the hole that was, I mean, I actually do not want my kids watching that because they're too young. I think they would actually be scared. Even though it's animation, I think they would be scared by that.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
It is creepy.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't like this one as well. I mean, I get where they were trying to go with the horror genre, you know, and then into, mm-hmm. you know, kind of the anti-hero type thing. But it was a little bit much for me.
Well, initially, I didn't think it was a Sith that was coming down. I thought since she'd mm-hmm. beaten a Sith, it was a Jedi right. that was coming down. Like, no, no.
Yeah, well, that subverting your expectations. I am a terrible person. As it will.
Yeah, I like this. Like, no, I'm a terrible person. I planted that ghost there for you, and you are going to be my apprentice. Yep. And this is what's happening.
You're the only person that survived the test.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to your nightmare.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that one was disturbing. That one was disturbing for me. I did not like it.
Well, if that's what they were after, then they got it.
They definitely did. For me, not my favorite. Not my favorite. I just don't want to see Star Wars go that route. There's
you're no fun.
Plenty of themes to explore, but for me, it was just didn't land. Didn't stick the landing.
Read Death Troopers and then get back to me.
Okay. I do need to do that one. Yeah. All right. Any further thoughts on this one, whether it's the story, whether it was the animation, whether it was the pacing, any other thoughts that you guys have on this one? Because for me, I just... one and done. I don't need to watch it again. I'm good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else I would really say about it. I mean, it was fine. It wasn't awful. Yeah. Just wasn't great.
Just a downer.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was for me.
It
was just
really
a downer.
It. I mean, it was... it was just too... I don't know.
I don't like the style of animation that much either. Not my favorite style.
Yeah, I mean, like, this was like... extreme anime, you know, where it's everything is mm-hmm. super stylized. I mean, the ship especially is like, you know, just super stylized. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a downer, like Attack on Titan, which is like the ultimate downer, in my opinion.
I never saw that one, so I'm not familiar. Yeah.
If you're into watching humans get eaten by big giant
humans, the one.
Yeah,
there you
that's where you want to be.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next entry, and that is the third one called In the Stars. This one by Punk Robot is the studio that brought us this one. It's about a little girl named Tichina and her older sister, Koten. They look at the stars to see their dead mother, but the Empire has almost completely wiped out their entire species. And the story takes place entirely on that planet, and it's I don't know. It's very much about like kind of standing up to the Empire. So that's the Star Wars element to it beyond just being the Empire, but standing up to the Empire. We also see the realization of the use of the Force, that it is possible that they do have it, though it's not the one who we thought would have it.
Yeah.
It was the older sister that has the Force and is able to use that to save the day. So this one was entertaining. I thought it was good. Not my favorite. Would I watch it again? I don't feel like I need to. But when it comes to the theme of Star Wars, I thought this really felt like it was right in the vein of things. And you've got a nice kind of way to end things with them using the Force and having that available and taking care of the business with the Empire. Overall, not bad.
But now they're stuck on a ruined planet by themselves with no way off. And
but they released the water.
Yeah. I mean, it reminded me of the episode in Avatar, The Last Airbender, about getting rid of the Fire Nation who were destroying the river and poisoning everybody. It was kind of like that. But, you know, that's a compliment because Avatar The Last Airbender is like the best thing ever. So.
Mm. Ah, interesting. Okay.
You haven't
very
watched
strong
it?
Take.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. Do you think, I was trying to figure out, initially I was like, are these Chagruta? But they do not appear to be. So,
no,
yeah.
I don't think so.
Just an orange skin species with tattoos similar to Chagruta, but not
some
not
other
same,
species.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I thought it was okay. Like the exposition, you know, they have her draw the painting and then like, there's like, you know, two minutes of exposition and from the painting. And then I was just kind of like, that's a little much. So I don't know. I mean, it was okay.
You're
but
so
it wasn't,
difficult to please.
Wasn't my favorite. So.
Yeah. Not my fave. It's all right. It's all right. Do I need to watch again? Nope. I don't. I did like the animation. I thought the animation was good though.
It was really good. Yeah. It was good animation for sure.
And I liked the story and the ending, and I thought that they did a good job playing the little sister, and whoever did the voice for that was good. So
Yeah. Yes, I agree. Yeah. The actress did a good job with that one. The voice actress did great. Moving on to the next entry, and this is one that I think a lot of people were really excited for, if you're an animation fan, specifically because it was by Aardman Animation. This one's called I Am Your Mother. And Aardman Animation, it's the studio that brought you Wallace and Gromit, movie Chicken Run. It's that kind of claymation, stop motion stuff. And so a lot of folks, specifically Dan, mm-hmm. was super excited about this one. He was really, really happy. And he's like, give them a movie now. He was that big a fan of it. I am not. I thought this one, honestly, felt the least Star Warsy of all of them mm-hmm. to me. Huh. Just because the story was about the race and really to me. So like, you know, if you look at this, this revolves around a mother and a daughter, a race. And then the primary component to me about this was the angst related to being embarrassed by your parents.
Yeah.
And that was something the central focal point.
But
sure, you know, sure.
Not as epic as the typical Star Wars fare.
No, I mean, the story's heartwarming. Visuals were good. They were exactly what you'd expect from Aardman Studios. Claymation's never my favorite, unless it was, I don't know, like the California Raisins. That's really about the only thing I ever cared about claymation-wise. To me, it's like, neat, and I'm done. You guys have a different take.
Not particularly.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say claymation's my favorite. I thought there were some, you know, there's some funny call-outs, like, you know, the moment when the little Wookiee kid dismembers the stuffed animal, like, yes. you know.
Yeah, I mean, pulled the arms off.
Stuff. And I do like having, you know, they brought Wedge Antilles in, so who's one of my yes. favorite Star Wars yep. characters, so.
And Dennis Lawson did provide the voice for yeah, that, which yeah. is the original Wedge Antilles, so that was cool to see him do that.
Yeah, so I thought that was cool. I mean, I think they could have done a whole lot more with it, but
yeah,
but, I mean, it was what it was. And I mean, like, clearly this one was aimed at, like, more at kids, so.
Yeah, and it was cute.
Yeah.
It was cute.
I mean, this is one, that you, one, this I is would one share. You could have your kids actually watch, so.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And I will say that my daughter came out at one point. I was watching at night and she'd already been put to bed, but she has this habit of making sure that she comes out a second time to tell me goodnight every night, just to let me know that she's done reading in her bed and she's actually going to go to sleep and close her eyes now. And she came out and she kind of stopped when I was watching one of them and she's like, is this Star Wars? And I said, yeah. She's like, that's interesting. And I think she was watching that first one, the Sith one. She mm-hmm. thought that was interesting. So, but I would share this one with the kids. And specifically, I think any age could yeah. watch this one from Aardman Studios and find some joy in it. So overall, the least Star Warsy story of all of them, more of a universal likening to that relationship between teens and their parents and kind of being embarrassed by them. So that plays, that lands. But otherwise, I don't ever need to see it again unless I'm showing it to my kids. So
fair enough.
That's my thought. Yeah. Next one that is called Journey to the Darkhead. And this is one that we talked about at the top of the show. This one is by Studio Mir. And set against a backdrop of war, we have some statues. And in one of them, apparently rooted in the dark side of the Force, we also have a young Jedi who's struggling with the death of his former master, who died at the hands of a Sith. And I gotta say, this was feeling the most Star Warsy of all the different oh, yeah. episodes that we had, because it's during a time of war, which is, you know, obviously Star Wars. It's set during a time of war. You have light side, dark side. You have the mysticism that comes with Star Wars. You have a big showdown with a young Jedi who is struggling about, you know, loss of a Jedi master. All yep. of that stuff kind of plays into things. And so I liked it. I liked this one. I liked the animation style. Again, this one does have kind of a Japanese very anime style to it.
Yeah, it's very, but, very, you're very traditional anime.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought the story was good. It and was. I would watch this one again. And I will watch this one again.
We watched this one multiple times at school. So
yeah. Now, why do you think it landed so well, Jake? Why do you think you guys had to watch it multiple times?
Well, that was my choice more than anything else. But oh. I think that it was just the easiest one to digest. It was like the lowest yeah. bar of entry to, you know, watching Star Wars anime, in my okay. opinion, of all the ones that yeah. I'd seen at that point.
What kinds of things were you hearing from your students as you guys were watching?
Yeah,
these?
I'm curious about this too.
I was actually watching too, so I wasn't listening super closely. But I mean, it's mostly pretty good kids, so I wasn't too worried about it. Yeah. Since they're mostly just in their seats. It's only so much trouble they can get into when they're sitting down. So
no, but I mean, are they engaged is what I think what Nate's asking. Because it for everybody,
hit and miss
you know,
with any of the episodes.
For everybody, like Jake sent us some pictures of the, some of the kids from his classes on May the 4th. And they were, you know, clearly some, like they drew a bunch of pictures on his whiteboard and clearly some Star Wars fans based on what they drew.
I definitely have some nerdy kids. I mean, it's a nerd school. So, and I teach STEM.
God bless them.
Yeah. Yeah, they fit right in.
We need nerds.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's my excuse for showing Star Wars, because that's like where you get the hope and the inspiration. I mean, so many people, scientists, engineers, whatever, were inspired by Star Wars to do what they
do.
Of
course.
So it just makes sense to me. But anyway, I didn't hear anything much good or bad, but I didn't ask either. So
see, that's kind of what it neither good nor bad. It's kind of just is. And that's what Star Wars Visions kind of is to me, is it just is, just kind of exists. There's not a lot of for those that love animation, they're in heaven with this. But it is a smaller part of the fandom
for sure.
And there are those that absolutely love anime. And I'm glad there's something there for you. For me, as a casual fan of I wouldn't even call myself a casual fan of anime. I'm not much of an anime fan at all. And not that all of this was anime, because there's different styles of animation. But it's just kind of like, hey, you know, I want the bigger stories. The shorts are okay. I think Tales of the Jedi is the right way to go about shorts in the Star Wars universe. But that is heavily rooted in Dave Filoni's storytelling abilities. These are different studios, and I think they've done some great work. I've enjoyed some of the animation, but I want to see it connect to the bigger thing. And I think that's a challenge with Visions, is that these are visions of what could be, not what are, in the galaxy far, far away.
So
exactly.
There's only so much you can do with that. It's almost more limiting than it is not. In my opinion,
I think you're right about that. I think it is a little bit more limiting because you can't necessarily tie to everything else. So that's definitely, I think you hit the nail on the head with that for me, Jay.
I will have to say Journey to the Darkhead was my favorite of any of them.
It was definitely my favorite as well.
Yeah, just fit in.
It's like you said, it's the most Star Wars, and you know, the animation does not distract from the story. It just tells it. So I agree. I thought that was the top one.
I would say we've already hit the one that I liked the least, and that was the second one we talked about. We'll talk about another one that was one of my least favorites, and that one is the next one that we talk about now, which is The Spy Dancer. Hmm. Yeah, from La Cachette Studio. So, Jake, you kind of questioned that. Did you like this one?
I did. Yeah, and okay. I went into it expecting not to like it for whatever reason.
Ah.
And I watched it a couple of times, and the story really got me, so much so that the animation didn't matter anymore, which is great.
It had a nice twist. It had a nice twist at the end, I'll say. And so basically, this is the one about the performer named Shal, who is asked to spy on a planetary leader. There's a lot of dancing in a very Cirque du Soleil style. We get an interesting motivation for why the head spy dancer does what she does. The ending gives us that twist, too, when we get the reveal of what happened to her baby and all of that. So
I just thought it was very touching at the end there.
The animation style is okay. It wasn't anything that, you know, I was particularly blown away by. And I think that that might have played into it. Then I just thought, this is all right.
It's all right.
It just was. Yeah. Everything about it was just kind of all right. And with Star Wars, all right is kind of failing for me.
You know, it kind of reminded me of Inglourious Bastards, if you remember the storyline in there.
Yeah, I definitely do. Yeah, the performers getting together.
Spy heist or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, using the theater as a way to attack the Nazis, which the Empire is obviously built on that ideal.
Right.
So this kind of made sense to me in that regard.
So
I was kind of reminded, too, with the arts aspect of it, with the performing arts aspect of it, of when we were watching in episode 3 when Palpatine talks about Darth Plagueis the Wise.
At the opera, yeah.
Yep. So I was kind of thinking of that as well and remembering him talking about Plagueis. So,
yes.
Chris, what were you going to say?
Well, I kind of cut you off there. I just enjoyed... So when the Star Wars toys first came out, or not first came out, it was probably like 82, 83, maybe 84. But there was a... they had like tiny vehicles if you couldn't afford the real deal. And there was like a little tiny Imperial shuttle that like was just big enough to fit an action figure in.
Yeah.
And then they had like the little transport for stormtroopers that had like two, like basically it looked like a roller, you know, like a construction roller.
Yeah.
These rollers. And that was the vehicle they're in, yep. the Stormtroopers are in at the beginning of this. So I'm like, that's a good,
I did notice that.
Easter egg there. Like, cause I had one of those things.
Good callback.
It was never anywhere that's cool. anything. So that was,
I didn't have the Stormtrooper transport, but I saw how it kind of like, it went down and then went back up with the wheels that kind of split out. I was like, oh, I remember that. And then, but I know what you're talking about. The vehicle with the, that looked like the transport, the shuttle that could fit one in. I used to have that one as well when I was a kid. So yeah, that was fun to see that, but otherwise it was okay. So because it was just okay, it just didn't really, you know, one of my least favorite ones, I think.
Yeah. So. I wanted the, I don't know, the animation of the AT-ATs was kind of terrible. I wanted it to be better as it were.
Yeah.
But it was not.
Yeah.
So
the animation was okay. Yeah. It was okay.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like the anime where the, you know, the foreground and the action is good and like everything else is kind of like garbage. So,
yeah.
So
this is, next one's my third favorite. So this hits my top three. The Bandits of Golok by 88 Pictures. And this one set on a desert planet. I mean, it's Star Wars. We like our desert planets. Yeah. You know, we do. We see a Force-sensitive child on the run with her older brother. They're running from the Empire. We see the danger really amp up when an Inquisitor finds them. And I like the Inquisitor. I thought that was, they did a good job with that as well. Then it's definitely a very like, India, you know, Pakistan kind of vibe going on with everything.
Put their culture
there.
Into every part of it, which was really absolutely. Fascinating. I mean, because it's not something we've seen before,
and that's fun to see. That's fun to see, you know, injecting that kind of culture in. So it was good. So I liked that part of it, and it did feel different and felt foreign. But you know what? That's the thing about Galaxy Far, Far Away is it can have a lot of different stuff going on. And to me, it felt right at home. So I thought it was good. I liked that choice. They are saved by a Jedi who then must take the child away from her brother to help protect her and train her. The animation, I like the style. I think it almost looks like a video game to me.
Yeah, it looked like they used with game how it was. Engine, maybe.
Yep, exactly. I was thinking the same thing. I thought the quality was great. I thought it was an entertaining story. I thought it got good. Like, there was an immediate, you know, sense of tension to start because they're kind of on the run. I think that's a right way to start out a short, that you get right into the tension aspect of it. You understand that she's doing something and exhibiting, showing signs of the Force, and that makes things dangerous for her, you know, beyond her comprehension. The older sibling trying to do what he can to protect his younger sister. And then the story just advanced from there. I thought this one did a very good job, and another very Star Wars-y feel. The more it feels like a Star Wars story to me, the more I'm going to like it.
Yeah.
And I do recognize that Visions gives people a chance to embrace other forms of storytelling, other ways of telling the story, and that's fine. But for me, as a hardcore Star Wars fan who's not much of an animation fan, I need these types of stories to make it work for me. Chris, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it was entertaining. I don't know. I mean, the style of animation's good. The story was okay. So I don't know. You know, they had to be like an actual train, which I thought, I'm like, I don't know. That a little bit distracted me. The fact that it's like an actual train, you know, like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it just basically is like a,
well, there's speeder bikes going alongside with the Stormtroopers.
Like, I mean, like at least the, you know, I don't know. I mean, like the train in, you know, in Kenobi is, or sorry, in Kenobi, Book of Boba Fett is not actually a train. Like, it is a train in that it's a locomotive that pulls a bunch of cars, but it's not, you know, it's just a speeder, you know, so, I don't know. They could, you know, that just was a little distracting to me, but I mean, I thought it was okay.
The amount of times I heard you say, I don't know, told me everything I need to know. told me everything I need to know. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's, Jake, get your quick take on it, and we can move on to the next one.
You know, pretty much the same. I really did enjoy the animation style. The story fit in the way it should, you know, giving the look at the casual cruelty of the Empire and just, you know, killing entire villages just because that's just their thing. You know, you stick close to home.
Yeah, it's what they do.
People get along better. I like the twist at the end of the reveal of the Jedi and everything. And, of course, that horrible moment when the brother has to give up his sister and hope that
she'll
be safe somewhere else. But he got a flute.
He got
out
a flute.
Yeah.
He got a flute. So. So then we move on to the second to last one, which is The Pit. And this one's by Dart Shatigio. And prisoners are mining kyber crystals in a deep pit near a great city. And one of the prisoners escapes to tell the unsuspecting city inhabitants about their captivity and their forced labor. And the story is, I mean, honestly, it's a brutal story. Mm-hmm. Probably the darkest of all the shorts that we watched. That tied with the second one that we talked about, as far as the dark nature of the story. But I think this kind of might even top it. This one gives us a more Japanese anime feel of animation. We also get a cathartic ending with this one as the light prevails. And we even get a post-credit scene, which we didn't get with any of the others. Not that it tells so much, but it was just a little added thing there. This one for me, I thought it was a decent story. This one had a lot more characters. You weren't focused on one or two. There was a lot more going on. There's a lot more, rather wider view of what's going on from the captives to the city to the empire. There's a lot more going on. I thought this one was decent. It wasn't a huge, like, it wasn't a home run for me by any means. There's only three that I thought were home runs that I wanted to watch again. I would watch this one again. I don't feel like I need to, but it was pretty good. It was pretty good. So, Jake, what did you think of this one?
First off, clarification. According to Wikipedia, this one was also done by Lucasfilm Limited. Just throwing that
out okay.
There.
Okay.
Their sourcing's usually pretty good. I haven't looked at their source, but anyway. I liked it fine. I think it was dark, like you said. I mean, the cruel, like the totally lame death of the good guy who climbs out first to get the message out, being thrown back into the pit and falling to the bottom and just
to his death. Like,
not terribly Star Wars-y in that regard, but you know, a bold choice.
I needed that one way out moment from Andor to play out. That's what I wanted to see from this one.
Well, and it kind of reminded me of the Batman movie. You know, the Dark Knight Rises.
He has to climb
out of the pit.
That
makes sense.
Yeah, so I mean, it was good. And, you know, casual cruelty to the Empire, forcing people to work, not caring. Mm-hmm. They're just
forced labor
them away when they're done. You know, it fits. Tracks.
It does. Yep. So this one I thought was decent, and I'm okay with it. Chris, based on what we've discussed, how excited are you to watch this one?
Yeah, I think I just started this one, but I didn't get to finish it. So, what I saw was okay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting, but not compelling is what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the final one. This is Aou's Song by Triggerfish. And this one gives us a stop motion style. Aou is a singer and is asked to perform. And she uses her abilities to cleanse the Kyber. So basically, the story here is it's focused on that there was a Sith interaction with the world that has a lot of Kyber, and they corrupted all that Kyber to red. And we know that as things stand in the actual canon of Star Wars, this Sith will take a Kyber crystal and will bleed it. They will corrupt it to the dark side of the Force, and they'll bleed it, and that's how it gets its crimson red color. But apparently there was some major Sith event where they impacted all the Kyber crystal on the planet, and this race of people there, they mine it, and they, you know, then have abilities to help clean it, to cleanse it, and Aou is able to do it on the grandest of scales, and she takes, you know, she is noticed by a Jedi who is just in awe of it. There's tension, there's you know, calamity. She saves her father and everyone by her song, and the song is part of the Force, and she has this ability, and so she's going to go off and train with the Jedi after having saved her father from peril and everyone there, and the Jedi, you know, was even able to help out as well. But it was really Aou who becomes the great hero for her ability to cleanse the Kyber crystals. So animation style was fun. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very colorful. This is a great one to show the kids because it does stand out for the color. The stop motion is very smooth, considering it's stop motion photography to use this style. And but again, very colorful. I think little kids will enjoy this. Not one I'll probably watch again, but I thought that it was touching. It was a good story. It wasn't terrible. It's a very different, did not feel very Star Warsy to me, other than the crystal involved with it. And so that's kind of where it's at for me. Jake, what was your take on this one?
Very cool looking Technicolor teddy bears on Pandora.
I think that
pretty much it
sums
but
up.
I think that nails it. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was beautiful. So, I don't know that Chris, it was not done with a computer, though. You can add the stop motion in afterwards to make it look like
it's
real.
It probably is.
A lot
case,
of the textures on there looked too good
rendered
to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The textures on the guy's cloth, the dad's cloth on his whatever he was wearing, and the fur on their bodies and everything was a little too good.
Too perfect.
But either way, I mean, it doesn't matter how they did it.
Yeah. And I think that this one is more about kind of, I mean, you have that aspect that played out in a couple of these shorts, which is a force sensitive child is about to say goodbye to their old life. And that really is what focused in. I mean, we saw that with Bandits of Golok and, you know, others where this is about transitioning, but in a very happy way. Like, this didn't have a dark undertone to it. It was a very joyous moment, an event that seems worthwhile and good. You know, it has it didn't feel like she was being ripped away. She had a choice to make, but you knew that she was going to go and fulfill her training and her destiny, so to speak. So this one was very hopeful. I think this one was the most hopeful of all of them. Nice to see, because Star Wars is about hope, obviously. And so that's why I think this one did land okay with me. Mm-hmm. Again, it's for a younger audience and that's fine. You know, we need that sort of stuff, but this second season, as we wrap up talk about it, the second season of Star Wars Visions just reinforces yet again, this is not really the Star Wars I need, but I recognize that there are those out there who do celebrate this. And for them and for those folks, I'm happy you have more of this. And I would say undoubtedly we'll probably get a third season of Star Wars Visions.
However, because we can bring on board more fans. Let's do it.
Yeah. So, and Star Wars is pursuing these different avenues, and that's what Star Wars should do. It's not going to appeal to all of us, and that's okay. It's just like those of us who are huge, huge Andor fans for this more adult take of a very well-written kind of golden era of television style. We like that. Not everyone does. Some folks just need lightsabers, and it can't be slow paced. It needs to be action packed and more like the old serials that you would watch at the movie theaters back in the 30s and 40s, as you know, George Lucas did as a kid. So that's okay. There's different things for everybody. I myself am ready for more things like Andor. That's what I'm really ready for. Yeah. I want more stuff like that. So in the meantime, let's go and get into your final thoughts on the animation that we just saw from Visions. Chris, let's wrap up with you. What's your final takeaways from this?
I thought it was fun. I just didn't think the stories were quite as compelling as last time, I'd say. Some good animation, but just, you know, I don't know. For whatever reason, the stories didn't catch me as much as some of the ones did last time. So it was good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just close mine with meh.
Yeah.
And I'll move on from that. Jake, what about you?
I mean, there were some high points, but nothing that came close to the first season episode, The Ninth Jedi, which was my favorite by far.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the reveal at the end that everybody was a Sith except for one person kind of thing. You weren't expecting, at least I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see. So anyway,
agree.
All right. Well, hey, guys, on the 4th, we got another thing that came out, another animated series for the very young younglings. Chris, talk to us about that, The Adventures of the Young Jedi.
Yeah, so I've watched the first two episodes with my, 3.5-year-old, I guess. She loved it. So she initially was like, mostly she's read the books. This is like the first TV that she's encountered for Star Wars. And she initially was like, where's Han Solo and Leia? But then Yoda came on and it was fine. So
yeah, via Yoda, you're
that's
good.
Right. She got Yoda.
So you're Han Solo with
Yoda came on and started talking and then she was like hooked. So she says she really liked it. I mean, she wanted to watch more of it this morning. So I think
that's a positive sign.
I don't know. I'd say if you got like a toddler to kindergartner, it is pretty young content, like really young content. Probably anybody over 6 or maybe 7 is probably about where kids will probably not be digging in anymore. But if you got those 3 or 4 or 5 year olds, she really liked it. So I've got
those.
Yeah. I think you're young and he might enjoy it there, Nate. So
yeah.
It's fun to have Star Wars that you can share with your kids that young. That's what I'd say.
So that's nice. We got two different series that came out on May the 4th, which is awesome. No live action, but we'll get there.
Did either of you guys watch the Maggie Simpson thing? I didn't catch it.
I meant to, and then Rogue Not One, whatever it was. No, not yet. I have not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I need to.
To check that out. We can save it.
Did you catch it?
No, I haven't seen it
yet. Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll save it for the next one then. In the meantime, we also got a quick look at Jude Law's character in the Skeleton Crew series. It was a blink and you'll miss it sort of deal. It was like literally a second or even possibly less. Just a quick look at Jude Law and his character from that show. And that was part of a video I saw released on Twitter, which was Disney Plus putting out a Happy May the 4th video. I will say that watching the whole video, it's like a minute long. It gave me all the feels. I really enjoyed it. It's anytime you take that music and you show epic moments from Star Wars, it's going to land, and it totally did. But let's talk about Jude Law for a moment. We have not heard anyone officially from Star Wars say Jude Law is playing a Jedi in this series. Yet that seems to be how everyone's describing it, that he's a Jedi on the run. And he kind of looks like he could be in that split second we saw.
We talked about, like, they're talking about basically the Force and Jedi, and they show him interspersed with snips of, you know, of Obi-Wan and Mace Windu. And, you know, so like they're basically showing him in sequence with a bunch of Jedi. So, I think it's a pretty solid bet at this point. They have foreshadowed it significantly based on this.
They have. And I think you brought that up in our discussion before we started recording the show, Chris, and I had not picked up on that. So I'm glad you said something, because that does make a lot of sense. All the clips that he's in between are all Jedi. So it would make, it stands reason, it doesn't have to, it could be misdirection, but
I don't think so.
I think there are no mistakes, as we frequently talk about. There are no accidents, and that seems like a very pointed way to do it. And Jude Law recently appeared on a talk show on Jimmy Fallon, actually, late night with Jimmy Fallon. And I think next time I'll go and grab a clip from that so we can talk more in depth about that, because Skeleton Crew is one of those shows that we're going to go in depth on about what we can expect. But it's exciting to have Jude Law coming on board. I like the idea of him being a Jedi. I'm excited by Star Wars exploring more that there are Jedi that did survive the Purge. Just really out there, and they had to lay low and they didn't know what was going on. It's a bit of a problem, too, because where were they during the events of you know, all the epic moments in the galaxy that were going on? But at the same time, I am excited to see them explore that. And I like the idea that there are survivors, because you would think there would be some that
it
would survive.
It doesn't make any sense in a galaxy so large for everybody to be affected equally by any event. So,
well, and I mean, Star Wars has admitted that. That's the whole point of the Inquisitor. Mm-hmm. So,
Yep. To hunt them down, find them and hunt them down. So there's that. I think there's some excitement there. And again, we will go in the future shows. We're going to go in depth about everything we've learned about all of these shows that are still forthcoming for Star Wars. And we're excited about that. The fourth has come and gone now. We got to wait another year for it. But we have about 3 months to wait until the next Star Wars property hits the screen. And that's Ahsoka, which has been the one that I have been most excited about.
Yeah.
And that's just because I love the character so much. I love Dave Filoni's storytelling ability. I'm excited for him doing his own fully, his realized vision in the live action world. And he's doing it with Ahsoka and the Rebels crew. I just loved Rebels. I thought it was a really fantastic show. And there are times where I have a hard time deciding which I like better, Clone Wars or Rebels. And a lot of folks have very strong decisions one way or the other.
But for me, I
think Rebels was, and there's so much to love about Clone Wars.
Consistently great.
Yes,
that's probably true.
Yep. And that's what it is for me. That I think the most consistently strong run.
Condense as much greatness as Clone Wars had into 4 seasons instead of 7. Yeah. So,
and it's worth noting that Clone Wars was under the direction of George and Dave. And so you're, of course, going to defer to his greatness. Yeah. But Rebels was fully Dave's deal.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it kind of clicked so well for me, because it was a singular vision all the way through, because Dave has talked about how they would do an episode and then George would come in during Clone Wars and be like, actually, I think it's this. And they would change everything to fit his vision for what was going on. And it could have been on a whim that they were having to change things on. Yeah. So I think that's why sometimes Clone Wars was a little bit disjointed, because you had multiple visions involved. But Rebels was very solidified in what it was. Well, there was no questioning what it was going
Clone towards. Wars is so long and just kind of all over the map plot-wise. Yeah. So, I mean, there's obviously central threads of Anakin's arc, you know, and, you know, Ahsoka. But, man, So.
Yeah. So I'm excited by that. And this is the one I'm most excited for. And so my question to you guys, as we look ahead in a few months' time, because it comes out in August, my guess is late August is when we'll see this come out. But no official word on the exact date just yet. We'll probably get that next month, I would imagine. Do you feel that after a couple weeks out from the close of season 3 of The Mandalorian, and all that has been said about the third season not being as strong or finishing as strong as season 2 did, I'm not complaining. I thought it was great. But I'm curious, with everything that's been out there, do you feel like Ahsoka has any shoring up to do among the fandom after what has been talked about with Mandalorian supposedly being a weaker season 3 than season 2? Do you feel like they have work to do with Ahsoka to kind of get everyone back, that hype up that excitement? What I do think you think? Jake, you're shaking your head no.
It's going to happen anyway. Ahsoka's just going to be that good, and it's not going to matter what happened season 3. You know, you can't follow up Luke Skywalker easily. Let's be honest.
Yeah, not an easy ask.
So that was a one, like, you can only use Luke Skywalker once. That's part of it. And then, dude, like, following Andor so closely, Andor was just so awesome. And then they deviated from the space western, you know, they kind of got, like, off the space western, like, you know, that, that sort of thing, into very heavily into Mandalorian culture, and they had some asides. That
world building, essentially.
Yeah, world building asides that people didn't like as much. So I don't know, man. I mean, I think they're going to go back to Rangers of the New Republic in season 4 and they'll like it. But yeah, I think Ahsoka is going to be great and people will really dig it. I think, you know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I hope so. I think it's going to be good.
I think Ahsoka is going to light some fires. Yeah. I really do. I think it's going to get people very, very excited. And I think that people are going to be like, so these characters are in something else? I think you're going to see an explosion of people going back to watch Rebels.
Yeah, in Rebels.
Yeah,
I hope so. Rebels especially.
I think the future is very bright for Ahsoka. I think there's a lot that Dave can do with this that he... It feels like the creative juices were pumping for this one, and I think things are moving. And that's me being a Mary Sue, I guess, and just being really Susie Sunshine about all this stuff. But I really think there's a lot to be had.
Star Wars is all about hope, Nate.
It is. It is. So I don't think there's going to be any problems there.
Yes.
That's right. And speaking of season 4 of The Mandalorian, Chris, you talked about that a moment ago. When you look at season 4, there's been some conjecture that season 3 was supposed to be the end for The Mandalorian story. That it was wrapped up nicely with the bow, because it sure felt that way at the end of season 3, right? It felt like, okay, the story's done now.
Yeah.
But they left the door open for Din to go back to his old ways of bounty hunting, but specifically toward Empire remnants, the remnants of the Empire that are still out there and causing problems. There has been a lot of conjecture that this is the storyline we would have seen for the canceled show Rangers of the New Republic, and with Cara Dune's character being out of play because of all the drama that went on behind the scenes in the real world events, that character is no longer available to be the lead of the show. However, you then implant Din Djarin in to the role that she would have played as a Ranger of the New Republic, and his role is not necessarily as a Ranger, but he's working with the Rangers. And that's what we'll see, that Carson Tebba will be there. Maybe Zeb will be there. And all these different characters. Exactly. And that's what we're looking for the fourth season. And it also is a soft reboot for Mando himself, that his story has come full circle with Uniting Mandalore. But now, the gunslinger is back that we loved so much from the first season, that he's accomplished his mission. And you could... Exactly. And you can have fun with Grogu as well, being a part of that, and get to see his force abilities as a duo. This is going to be a lot of fun, the fourth season. I think that it will grab people back, and it also serves as a nice way to kind of bring the events that happen in the sequel trilogy, the Empire, the Sith Eternal, all that sort of stuff coming into play as we see and how things will play out with Thrawn. So I'm excited for where things are going with this. And I think it actually is a good thing that perhaps the ideas that were going to be in place for Rangers of the New Republic make sense to use Mando.
Yeah.
So I like it. And then finally, we got to talk about the writer's strike. Yes, the writer's strike is a problem. And there is some good news, though, for the galaxy far, far away. We have the showrunner for Andor already saying, hey, guys, don't worry. I've actually got all the scripts are done. We're shooting this thing. We've already been shooting for quite some time, because they started back in November. They're in good shape right now. So he said, don't worry about it. We're all good. No worries there. If there's any rewrites that need to happen later on or reshoots, that could be a problem depending on how long the strike lasts for. And you look at the fourth season of Mandalorian, Jon Favreau has already said it's written. It's done. So that's not a problem. When you look at Ahsoka, that's done. Not a problem. And you, So next, Skeleton Crew, already shot. They're good. So all the immediate Star Wars is done. What is the problem? Is the movies.
Yeah.
The movies. So that's, is there any frustration from you guys about yet again, we're going to see delays when it comes to the movies?
Surprise.
It seems like,
surprise phase.
Yeah, old hat.
Something
at this point
always comes
up. Well, I mean, had, any of the scripts been accepted, then they wouldn't be in this situation. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it just goes to show having all kinds of cultural clout and money doesn't always make it work for you.
Yeah. Well, Kathleen Kennedy. I mean, just, you know.
Always comes down to one name, doesn't
she's
it?
She's in charge, so
she's the one that made a lot of these decisions. So.
Yep. Yeah. And that's what happens when you're in charge. It's all on your head.
And we're going to have to wait because it's a sticky point. You know, the whole artificial intelligence part of it, the writers want to make sure that their studios aren't going to just like, hey, write a movie for us in this style of this writer. And
they're still
going to
need writers to clean it up because AI text that's like about the
it's far from perfect.
Sucks. So
it's like far from
factual
perfect.
Things, it's hit or miss because sometimes their facts are made up. But
yeah,
like for stuff about feelings and things like that, it doesn't get
can't
it right.
land.
But I also understand why they're making this stand. I stand with them on this. It makes sense to me because it's you know, you're selling intelligence in an IP, intellectual property, and to relegate that to artificial intelligence to do. I mean, will we see it? We will.
There's going
to
be a lot. There's going to be a lot of struggles. You know, in my business, the military, very powerful tools, but man, there's a lot of problems. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
We're all in that spot, really.
Yeah.
You know, AI
everything.
Had to eliminate all of our jobs.
That's right. But there's going to be issues with it. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Writer strike is happening. Depending on how long it takes, we could look at yet another year before things start to move forward for the movies. And it could be 2026 before we see one, depending on how long it goes.
Anyway. Yeah. Let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that, we're taking a very rosy outlook on the future of Star Wars films. just wait and see what
just
happens
realism,
next.
Man.
It is. It is. Guys, that's going to wrap it up this week. Next time we talk to you, we are hoping to bring you a very exciting visitor to the podcast. We'll be talking to you again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, we are wishing you well. I hope that you celebrated a happy May the 4th. Hopefully you took advantage of all those great, sweet Star Wars deals that are out there because there's a ton of them. Lots of stuff to buy. It's a merchandiser's dream. If you sell Star Wars products.
Merchandising.
That's right.
Talking to you, Nate.
Please feel free to hit us up with your emails at theforcegeeks@gmail.com. We're on Twitter. Follow us there. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all over the place. And check us out, The Force Geeks, a Star Wars podcast listener group on Facebook, where you drive the conversation, your favorite news items, memes, all that stuff. You run the conversations. Make sure you share, like, and follow. And remember, if you don't follow The Force Geeks, you're looking for your Star Wars in Alderaan places. Talk to you soon. May the Force be with you always.